This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Quick turnaround this week as we get you set for Thursday night football as the Oakland Raiders host the Kansas City Chiefs October 19th at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The Chiefs come in, coming off a loss against Pittsburgh with a 5-1 record. The Raiders coming off a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. Four losses in a row, they come in with a 2-4 record. Not much I can say this week, everybody, in regards to a must-win. This is the must-win of the year so far. When the Raiders had this stretch of three home games with Baltimore, the Chargers, and Kansas City, there was an opportunity for the Raiders really to kickstart the season and get back into the win column. They haven't been able to do that. Now they have no choice on a short week, and they have got to find a way to beat Kansas City at all costs and do it in front of their home fans on a primetime night where the Raiders will be showcased around the world. Big news for the Silver and Black this week as they sign the former All-Pro Pro Bowler Navarro Bowman, the former linebacker of the San Francisco 49ers. Four All-Pro first teams and three Pro Bowls in the past seven-plus seasons. He is the consummate leader, nasty linebacker, and pro. And depending on what happens with his preparation and getting ready for Thursday night, going forward, the Raiders will have a signal caller, a leader, and a guy on the defensive side to go along with Khalil Mack, Bruce Irvin, some of the younger players, and especially with a young group at linebacker that's been banged up with injuries. This is a must-signing. I give Reggie McKenzie credit. Maybe this wouldn't have been the perfect player, but at this point in the season, the Raiders have no choice to hope that Bowman can give them the spark that they need to help get the season back on track. Again, the loss to the Chargers, what can you say? I talked about it being gut-wrenching because Phillip Rivers went the length of the field to set up the game-winning field goal, and the field goal was kicked with no time left on the clock. 17-16, the Raiders lose that game. And for Kansas City and Denver, both losing this past week, I don't know anybody, not a coach, a player, or an NFL insider, that had the Chargers being the only team that won this past week and in the AFC West. But that's what happens in this league. And the Raiders got to hope that Kansas City, who played a very physical game against Pittsburgh, got dominated for most of that game and got beat up physically on a short week with travel. Hopefully it sets up well for the Raiders to get them, because I think Kansas City has proven, as of right now, they're the best team in all of football, and they're playing at a very high level. No doubt, as we record this podcast, that Alex Smith is the MVP of the year so far in the NFL. He's having a brilliant season. He has a 72.9 percentage when it comes to pass completions, which is number one overall, and he has the number one passer rating in the league at 119.2. He's developed into not only a game manager, but a guy who can attack downfield. His season reminds me a lot of Rich Gannon's MVP season with the Silver and Black. And we'll talk about that with Steve Mariucci from NFL Network, who will be joining us here in a few minutes. The big story for Kansas City is Kareem Hunt came out of nowhere. He leads the NFL with 630 rushing yards on 106 carries. He's been amazing as a receiver with 21 receptions for 255 yards and two touchdowns. Kansas City's got a great tight end in Travis Kelce. He leads the team in both receptions and yards. And don't forget Tyreek Hill. He's got 30 receptions, tying a team-high 390 receiving yards with two touchdowns. One word you're going to hear throughout this podcast is misdirection. I've been saying it for years with Kansas City. They start a play to the left, everybody goes that way, and then a back or a tight end comes across the field, and they beat the Raiders on a big play. Jack Del Rio lightly touched on it in the last loss to the Chargers, that the team knew the plays that were coming down the stretch from Phillip Rivers. They knew it was going to the tight end, and they weren't able to stop it. Well, it's going to Travis Kelce in this game. It's going to Kareem Hunt. Alex Smith is unbelievable on third down, and the Raiders are going to have to do a great job at getting off the field. Marshawn Lynch last week, 13 rushes for 63 yards. The Raiders rushed for over 103 yards. Marquette King was the best player on the field. He flipped the field twice, pinning the Chargers inside the 20 twice. And, you know, a couple of guys owned the loss. Our friend John Kondo on the bad snap on the extra point. A lot of things went wrong for the Raiders to lose that game. Now the Raiders are ranked 30th overall when it comes to total offense, as the Chiefs are ranked number two. But maybe the silver lining in this game Thursday night is the Chiefs' defense is ranked 29th overall in the league, giving up 378 yards a game. They give up yards. They got great offensive weapons, but if you can keep Alex Smith on the sideline and the Raiders can run the ball and run hard with Lynch and the rest of these backs, maybe they can own time of possession and find a way to win this game, a game that they have to win. Our first guest is a great former coach and even a better analyst for NFL Network. I knew we could count on him heading into this big game on Thursday night. You catch him on TV all the time on NFL Network. We welcome Steve Mariucci to the official Raiders podcast. Coach, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for doing this.
JT, thanks for having me on. I can't wait for this game over there. You never know what you're going to get when you get the Raiders and the Chiefs on Thursday night football. Remember a couple years ago, 0-10 Raiders? Beat the Chiefs in the rain. It was amazing.
That was one of the more amazing experiences. I remember that warm-up and the fans coming in and how electric that game was. And this now becomes, Coach, what is a really essential must-win for the Silver and Black. And I spend time with you up in Napa every preseason. And coming off a 12-win year and the Raiders looking for higher expectations this year, what do you think are some of the key issues why they are in the middle of a four-game losing streak?
Certainly had the high expectations. In fact, I remember we always do Super Bowl picks, and some of us were considering Oakland Raiders in the Super Bowl or at least going to the championship game. And you mentioned 12-4 last year and didn't have their quarterback for the playoffs and would have went further. Started off 2-0, and then all of a sudden now four losses in a row. It's kind of shocking. The obvious thing is Derek Carr's health. I think he's playing with some concern, whether he's a tough guy or not, and he is a tough guy, and he's a very talented, awesome leader, with the broken leg from last year and now a broken transverse process, he's got to be a little bit concerned about taking the hits and pressure in the pocket and those kinds of things. And this is the time that offensive line, who's been very highly regarded, has got to do a heck of a job at protecting him so he's comfortable in the pocket.
Coach, we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks, that the offensive line just has to play at a higher level. Coming off the loss to San Diego, a short week with Kansas City, this is the strength of that team. When healthy, four of those five starters are Pro Bowlers who are supposed to be in the prime of their careers and road grading and pass protecting. Do you see the issue before we get to the defensive side is the offensive line doesn't have the identity that they had last year of being dominant?
That is a true statement, because you're right. Last year, I can't tell you how many times on air I said that the Raiders had probably the second best offensive line in the league next to that great Dallas Cowboy offensive line. And then, of course, the Cowboys lose a couple players. And so, do the Raiders' offensive line surpass? Well, didn't happen yet. And I say yet because they're certainly capable. They have some heck of a good bunch of guys with great resumes, but you got to be able to control the line of scrimmage and run the ball better. That's going to be so important in this game with Marshawn Lynch. And you got to be able to protect your banged-up quarterback. And so it's a huge responsibility that offensive line now steps up and does their job better than ever, because their back is a little bit against the wall. You can't lose five games in a row and expect to make the playoffs.
Steve Mariucci is our guest. What a performance. I think you'd agree, Coach. Alex Smith, the MVP so far this year, the 72.9% of pass completions. And if you look at no interceptions and a quarterback rating of 119.2, it reminds me a lot of Rich Gannon's MVP season with Oakland, where we knew Alex Smith had the ability to be a game manager. What do you think is the biggest change for him this year, looking downfield and making so many big plays in the passing game?
Yeah. He is having an MVP season. I'm happy for him. And in the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, you know what they did? They kept him off the field. They kept him over by the Gatorade and controlled the clock. And Alex didn't have a chance to do his magic. He's got weapons galore. I was doing a show in the preseason the night that their tailback Spencer Ware got hurt, JT, and I went, oh, geez, that's it. This is their bell cow. He had more scrimmage yards for that team than anybody. and he's done. Well, enter this kid from Toledo. Never really heard much about the kid at all, Kareem Hunt, and all of a sudden he's a superstar. It's amazing. And then they're getting so much out of guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and he's got some weapons now, and Alex Smith is. We all know that he's a smart guy, and I'm pretty sure he had the highest Wunderlich score coming out of that draft when he got drafted that year. And we know he's got some good speed. He's a very versatile guy. The game manager thing just kind of stuck on him for some reason, but he's capable of more, and they're throwing the ball down the field more often. A very explosive team with Alex Smith.
Navarro Bowman comes over now, signed for a year with the Silver and Black. What an addition, depending on what the Raiders can get out of him quickly heading into this game and looking long-term down the road. Tell me about Bowman, how much you think he has left. He said, I'm 29 years old, I have a lot of juice left. Well, Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio need to get all of that out of him, especially to save the rest of the season for a playoff run.
Yeah, I hope he plays in this game. He was the leader. He was the captain. He was their guy over there in San Francisco, and he's had some injuries. We all know that. But talk about a great get for the Silver and Black, and they're going to pay him $3 million, I guess, for the rest of this season. Very well worth it, because he's going to have their attention, and I'm not sure how fast he can assimilate into that defense with their calls and whatnot, but I hope he plays a little bit, because I want to see this guy finish his career as a Raider. They're going to have to re-sign him. Reggie McKenzie, they're going to have to figure it out. Is he healthy enough? Will he contribute enough to sign a multi-year contract? But I hope it starts Thursday night.
Coach, the word I've been using heading into this game for the Raiders is misdirection. Every game, I've been with the team 19 seasons, and every time I see Andy Reid, who's been there and before that, where the other coaches looked at a way to get the Raiders off their spot with these misdirection plays, where they start out left, everyone's moving, and then they come back the other way. It's either a tight end trailing over the middle, a running back catching a screen, or someone on a long pass play. How do the Raiders, Ken Norton Jr., Pagano, and Del Rio, stop these misdirection plays, which have killed them in the past, and Kansas City's really good at that with Travis Kelce?
Yeah, the edge rushers have got to do a great job of containing all day, because, you know, the Chiefs are not a team that's just going to have a launch point from behind the center and throw the football. And they're going to be very versatile. You got to defend the field horizontally in the passing game and in the run game, because the keeps and the movement plays that Andy Reid likes with Alex Smith puts them on the perimeter in a hurry. And so you got to contain that guy. And then they have this new stuff that when Andy Reid and I coached together in Green Bay, we didn't have that jet sweep stuff. We didn't have that stuff. And talk about misdirection. You don't know if he's getting the ball or if he's just, they're faking it to him, or if they're going to fake it to him and run a shovel pass. And they've got a whole little package that's pretty cute, that you better defend the whole field, not only vertically, but horizontally, and which means your contained guys better do a heck of a job.
I think you set me up, Coach, with a great segue to Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, with the Raiders' package on offense. Assuming Carr is healthy and playing better and better, we saw what he could do last year. Musgrave's out. Downing stays. He's taking over the offense, and there's been criticism. Amari Cooper can't get off. They're trying to find ways of opening it up, but they're just not throwing downfield. You just mentioned with Andy Reid, those plays didn't exist when you were coaching. Now there's more plays than ever. What advice would you give to a guy like Todd Downing, who's probably hearing a little bit of the background noise, but has got to focus on a short week and get his quarterback and offense ready for Kansas City?
When you look at last year, JT, the Raiders would, all the way back to the Al Davis days, throw the ball deep vertically to just back them up, and whether you hit it or not, sooner or later you're going to complete those passes. They haven't had this year the deep ball connection often enough. They've been lacking in big plays. And our Amari Cooper was part of that, a huge part of that last year. You're right, they've got to get him the ball, not only deep plays, but all kinds of ways, whether it's the screens and the intermediate, everything. He's got to find his rhythm with Amari Cooper. But, you know, what I would suggest, I would say, just keep doing what you're doing, because it's been good. He didn't change a whole lot of things. You just got to do what you're doing better. Do it better. execute. You know, they're just a little bit off here and there. It's a matter of the quarterback being more comfortable in the pocket behind that offensive line. He's been banged up. There's got to be a little bit of concern. So give him some time and some protection, and then you just do what you're doing, but just do it better. Then they got a chance to win. And that was, and I would, you got to have Marshawn Lynch really step up. He's been good. He's been a heck of an addition. But you know what? Tonight or Thursday night has got to be a real statement game by Marshawn Lynch and that offensive line. We are going to control the clock and keep Alex Smith and the boys over by the sideline.
Coach, last football question. Justin Houston from Kansas City and Khalil Mack. Talk about these two players. I know what you think about Mack in the past. He seems to be getting better even against the run, but he's getting doubled and triple team coach almost every play.
Yeah, they are. And this division, this AFC West probably has the best pass rushers and edge players in the National Football League. You mentioned two of them with Khalil Mack and Houston, and then you got Bosa and Ingram, and you got Von Miller, and you got all these guys that, man, they can really create havoc and rush the passer and step up and make big game-changing kinds of plays. But Khalil Mack is a gem, and he's one of those guys that can change a game real quick. But you got to have more help than that. You can't have all that double team on him all the time. Some of these other guys on the opposite side have got to step up, and Kenny Norton's defense has got to really answer the bell. It's going to be a tough chore against this very fast offense of the Chiefs.
Coach, on a serious note, I know you're keeping an eye on those fires in and around Napa and what happened up in the Bay Area on the outskirts of the North Bay, and how these firefighters, first responders, all the individuals who lost their homes. Cliff Branch lost his house. He just got his Super Bowl rings out at the last second. The devastation. I'm sure you've been affected with all the people you've known over the years in that area.
Yeah, it's been just awful. And our thoughts and our prayers go out to so many people who have lost their homes. In fact, my wife and I have just spent the last day and this morning they're asking for donations. Of course, we support financially, but they're asking for clothes and everything else, and we're cleaning out our closets to do some of that right now as we speak. It's just they need help, and whoever's listening to this, please dig deep and find a way to help, because it's just been amazing, JT. It's just Mother Nature, this year has been really something with Houston and Florida and Puerto Rico and now Northern California. It's just, but this is where people help people, and it's what we have to do. And so our prayers are out to all the families who have lost.
Coach, I look forward to thanking you in person Thursday night. I always appreciate your time. All the best.
All right, JT. See you then. Thank you.
Always appreciate the Mooch. Steve Mariucci, catch him Thursday night on the pregame for NFL Network. We go from the Mooch to one of the great Raider linebackers, Super Bowl champion from Super Bowl XI, the great Phil Villapiano joins us on the official Raiders podcast. Phil, I know you were in Oakland Sunday for the Raiders as they lost to the Chargers. Take me through that game and the performance. What'd you see?
Okay, JT. I'm really sick because that game was so winnable. I watched the guys. I just couldn't believe that our defense could not do better. I couldn't believe the calls, JT. I mean, we're playing zone and giving them first downs. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Philip Rivers is a great quarterback. You just go drop back in the zone. He's going to hit somebody for 8 yards every time. I thought we were way too easy. I thought our defensive line that I was looking forward to watching, I thought there was too many holes out there. I didn't see any blitzing. I thought defensively we were horrible. Offensively, the ball doesn't go downfield. You got to stretch them out a little bit. They didn't do that. I thought our blocking was very mediocre. I was kind of happy with Derek Carr. You know, I thought he threw some good balls. We had a couple drops and a terrible tip by Marshawn. I was, JT, we're not playing good football one bit. It was a game that if it was like a 1 to 10, I would think our effort was like a 4. You know, just no good.
Well, Phil, let's talk about Kansas City coming up. And from what you saw, Navarro Bowman gets signed. He's a great player. He still says he has some juice left. He'll jump in there and play middle linebacker and hopefully reset the defense. And there's been a lot of injuries, but you played for one of the greatest Raider teams of all time. What would you be saying now to this team that really is up against it, losing four in a row, and then on a short week's got Kansas City coming in, one of your all-time greatest rivals? This is a big spot for a must-win for the Silver and Black.
Yes, yes, it is. And you know, my thing would be, gentlemen, I'm taking the gloves off. It's all or nothing. All or go home. Go home for Christmas. Go home and have some turkey. Because because this season is all about Thursday night. There's no other games. You know, I don't care about it. I hear all this stuff. Oh, yeah, oh, it's a 16-game season. No. For this Raider team, they dug themselves a hole they should never be in. And now, if I'm Del Rio, I'm taking the gloves off. And I'm going to go out and do everything that we could possibly do. I would have these guys so fired up because they don't even know what you're going to call. They're going to be – you should have them doing everything. And, you know, every trick that they ever know. And, you know, and go out there and play for some – have some fun with this game and get excited because it's obvious this whatever approach it's been the last 4 weeks is not working. You got to do something, and you got to do it quick. And you know, you can't go out there afraid. You got to go out there and have some fun with this. And I don't know what John Madden would do right now, but I know one thing. We would go out there and play for him. So I hope these guys would play for Jack and play hard and not what we've seen the last 4 weeks.
Phil Villapiano, Raiders legend, joins us. And, Phil, this is, you know, every once in a while a schedule gets on top of you because the Raiders are coming off 12 wins. We know the talent that they have. Carr gets injured. He comes back sooner than later. They sign Bowman. Mack is an unbelievable player along with Irvin. The offensive line doesn't have the identity that they had last year. And then, you know, you look at some of the younger players who were drafted to play in the secondary who have been injured. The Raiders really were counting on Gerrion Connolly and Obi to come in and really help this team in substitution packages and helping this team in regards from the back end towards the defensive line. And it just seems like these games are close. The Raiders aren't finding a rhythm, but there's still time to turn it around. And you've been in this spot before with your back against the wall where you just need that one game to flip the switch.
Oh, absolutely. It can be done, JT. But I'm not so sure it can be done with this team because I don't see. I mean, I did see it against the Jets. Opening day, they had a great time out there, and they beat them up. Second week, they played very well against Tennessee on the road. I really enjoyed that. And maybe this offensive line got a little too much credit. Maybe, you know, our boys sitting on the eating the banana during the national anthem. Maybe they go to Washington and they're thinking too much about how they're going to look when they all lock their arms together. And I'm pissed at that, so it's coming out right now. Maybe all of that got in their way of playing football. And everybody in the NFL is so good. Every opponent is so good. The guy behind you is just as good as you are on the starting team. And you start losing your focus. And, boy, it can go so fast. But it can come back. I know it can come back. They got the players. And the offensive line has got to make sure. Like, they two terrible holding calls last week. You can't have that. You know, you can't make – when you get the back up against the wall, as the coaches, you got to give them a great game plan. And as players, you can't afford to make a mistake. Because a mistake against the Kansas City Chiefs is going to cost you. Probably going to cost you 7 points. So you can't make a mistake, and you got to play the hardest game you've ever played. We know they can play hard. We saw them last year. Turn up the juice, boys, and good luck. You know, it's going to be hard, but it can be done.
Phil, you played linebacker on some of those great teams. Final point, Mack is special. I compare him to the only player I've seen since Lawrence Taylor this young, but then Von Miller is really good. Justin Houston for Kansas City. There are great edge rushers now in the AFC West, but isn't it great, especially for you, to come out to Oakland last Sunday and see the professionalism of Mack and the way he plays against the run? They have to triple team him now. Talk about what you see in this player going forward.
Yeah. You know, JT, you got to get this guy some favorable matchups. And I'm thinking of Watt, what they do down in Texas. They move guy around. They let him do a lot of things so that he can be, you know, he can't be triple teamed on every play. I think we got to come up with something a little special for Mac, because you let this kid run. You're absolutely right. He's every bit of Lawrence Taylor, and I love when he's running and he's tackling and he's jumping up and down, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. So, you know, that's where coaches commit at this level. If you got a coach from San Diego taking your best man completely out of the game, move him around, you know, do something else with him. Don't leave him in the same spot where they know where he is and they know what he's going to do and they're going to triple team him. You got to be a little more creative than that. Put him back at linebacker. He played linebacker at college. Let him be a little linebacker for a while. And then they're all going to be looking around like, where did he go? You know, and then put him as a linebacker. Do some stuff. You know, we got some great players on that team. You just can't come out and be vanilla. You know, they know what you're going to do. Everybody's good enough to block you.
Foo, this team is going on the East Coast. I'll be with them from Buffalo to Sarasota to Miami. If they turn it around, I expect you to get on an airplane, a private jet, or get in your car and get to the Raiders from Buffalo to Miami. We need you there for inspiration.
Hey, man, I will find a way, man. I came all the way out there last weekend. I even brought my new girlfriend with me, JT. She was beautiful. I had dressed all up in silver and black, and we lost. It was a terrible thing. So I will be at another. I will be in Buffalo or Miami. You'll see me. We gotta win this weekend, Thursday night. I can't wait.
Thank you, Phil. Good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the Official Raiders podcast. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye, guys.
How cool is the great Phil Villapiano getting us fired up? Now we get a chance to go out and talk to one of the best broadcasters out there, host of the Rich Eisen Show and also the anchor for NFL Network, and he'll be right there on the sidelines Thursday night. Rich Eisen joins us on the Official Raiders podcast. Rich, thanks for the time, and I didn't think the Raiders would have their back up against the wall heading into this game Thursday night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I toyed with the idea of having them, the Raiders, be my preseason Super Bowl pick, but decided, you know, that the football god wanted to have a Super Bowl rematch of some sort. So I thought Seattle and New England would be, you know, those are my picks going into the season. And I did not see the Raiders' pass rush being so, I guess pedestrian would be the way to put it. I didn't see the offensive line taking a step back. I didn't see Marshawn Lynch performing in a way that lessened the position from Latavius Murray. I thought that he would certainly surpass Latavius Murray's production behind that offensive line. And I do not know what has happened to Amari Cooper. I have no earthly idea what is happening, but it is not working. So I don't know what the answer is.
Rich, as you know, they made a coaching change at offensive coordinator. Musgrave out, Todd Downing elevated to work with Carr. Carr seemed very comfortable with that, and it's going to take some growing pains to get this going. It just seems like the Raiders are not vertical down the middle of the field. You mentioned Amari Cooper. Crabtree's having a good year, but it just doesn't seem like they have the balance or the explosive ability like they had last season.
Well, I mean, the 2-0, they started 2-0, and I thought it was all working, and then Carr threw one pass in Washington, D.C., and it's all gone downhill since then. I mean, ever since that interception to kick off that Sunday night football game, it has just been downhill, and they can't stop it. And I think they're in trouble Thursday, quite frankly. Although I have seen Raiders-Chiefs Thursday night games in my days on the NFL Network where you didn't think the Raiders had a chance. Derek Carr's first career win, if I'm not mistaken, ended an 0-10 stretch. That happened against the Chiefs in a game that the Chiefs really could have used when it all came down to it. That's just one of them off the top of my head. So, you know, the black hole can be a nice spot for them on Thursday night, but The Chiefs, even if they don't get Tyreek Hill back in time, I still think are the better team soup to nuts right now, and I am genuinely concerned for the Raiders.
Rich Eisen from NFL Network, the Rich Eisen Show, my teammate on the radio. And, Rich, Kansas City is unbelievable. At this point, I really believe Alex Smith is the MVP. A lot of football left, but so many weapons here, and Kelce has the ability to really attack the Raider linebackers and safeties down the middle of the field. I just like the balance and everything that we're seeing from Kansas City. He's no longer a game manager. Alex Smith is playing as an explosive quarterback.
Yeah, I know, because he's got explosive weapons. I mean, Kareem Hunt has been a revelation. And Tyreek Hill last year, who was just one of those flash play guys on special teams and a gimmick play guy on offense, has turned into a dynamic every down player. So they've got a home run hitter, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And, you know, and they're going to get healthier on the defensive side of the ball when folks like Tom Bahali come back in the mix. Unfortunately for the Chiefs, they don't have Eric Berry anymore. So for me, the Chiefs are still the best team in the AFC unless they have to play the Steelers, who have their number. So the AFC has got, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Steelers sitting atop it right now with other teams that are trying to put it together. And surprise and come from nowhere and contend for a deep AFC run. And the NFC is wide open, although Aaron Rodgers' injury certainly shuts it down for Green Bay, one would think. It's still a wide open season. The Raiders can win this game on Thursday, go on a nice tear. I obviously don't see another 12, 13 win season for them this year. They would have to run the table for something like that to happen. The question is what would a 9-10 wins do for them? Would that get them a wild card spot? Because I don't think 9-10 wins is going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in that division.
Wrapping it up with Rich Eisen. Rich, finally, what does it mean to you as a broadcaster to be hosting from Oakland, the history of Oakland, from Al Davis? We're going to be honoring the 1967 team, 50-year anniversary pregame of the team that went up against Vince Lombardi in Super Bowl II. I know you care about the history of this game. There'll be a lot of history Thursday night in Oakland.
It's great, man. I mean, the passionate fan base, the silver and black fan base, is just, it's incredible. Until I see a shovel in the dirt in Nevada, I'm not going to believe it. So, we're talking tonight right now where there's a banner being raised at Oracle right across the thoroughfare there. So it's just a great spot and a great time and a great, great sports community. So it is pretty special. It's always very special. And then the Raider fans, I mean, again, we've had some really special nights on Thursday Night Football in that building. Charles Woodson's final game at home, in particular, leaping out at me from a couple of years ago. You know, he's obviously a special guy for me going back to my college days. It's just a neat spot and a big game in a money division right now in 2017.
Thanks, Rich. I always appreciate your time. Thanks for making this work. Right. Appreciate it.
Take care, bud.
Thanks again to Rich Eisen. Check him out Thursday night on the field with NFL Network. We get a chance to go up to Alameda one more time. Eddie Pascal, senior writer for the Silver and Black, joins us. And Eddie, let's get going. The signing of Navarro Bowman. I think that is key for the Silver and Black as they look to turn the season around.
Absolutely. I mean, I think head coach Jack Del Rio said it the best. He said, this is a green group of linebackers we have. You know, this is a talented group, but it's a group that doesn't have all that much playing experience. So insert Navarro Bowman, a guy who's been a Pro Bowl player, an all-pro player, a guy who's gone to the Super Bowl. I mean, realistically, there's not that much that you're going to throw at this guy that he hasn't seen before. And so he immediately adds some legitimacy into this linebacking core. And not only that, but a good veteran sense of leadership for these guys. It's, like we said, it's a young group, and he immediately is a guy that these guys can turn to and see how this is done at the highest level.
Was this done because it's the right player at the right time, or the fact that the Raiders have lost four in a row, it's a short week, and even if Reggie wasn't in love with this move, the time to do it is now. The Raiders need someone to light a fire on that defense other than Mack.
I think it's a mixture of both. I think it's right place at the right time. Bowman obviously released by the Niners and, looking for a new football home. And, the Niners, the Raiders had a need. They had a need at linebacker. So I think that, just the two things coming together is kind of the perfect storm. Reggie went out. He made this happen, and hopefully if all goes to plan, we see Navarro on Thursday night against the Chiefs.
Eddie Pascal joins us from Alameda, a senior writer for the Silver and Black. Derek Carr, you assessed him this week at practice. Again, another short week coming off the injury. A couple interceptions in the last game, but it seems like Derek is really on top of his game now. He understands the sense of urgency, especially with his history against Kansas City.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one thing Derek does, great, whether it's a win, whether it's a loss, he takes ownership of his play, and not just his play, but the play of the offense as a whole. And, he was asked earlier this week during his press conference, he goes, you really haven't had that much success against the Chiefs, dating back to even the earliest stages of your career. Are the Chiefs kind of that Everest, that mountain that this team needs to collectively climb to kind of take that next step? And he said, yeah. This is a big challenge in front of us, a challenge that obviously a very important time, a critical time in our season. But, yeah, this is a big deal for him. This is a big deal for this offense. It's a big deal for this team to be able to knock off the Chiefs. And they have a great chance to do it at home on a short week, prime time, with all the eyes of the football world on them.
Eddie, as we wrap this up, I think it's key, the professionalism and the leadership within the organization from Jack Del Rio and his staff down to the veteran leaders in that locker room really have to pull it together. We were looking at a 3-game home streak with Baltimore, the Chargers, and Kansas City, where really the season could have been flipped and turned around. Now it's just Kansas City before the Raiders head out to Buffalo and Miami and stay in Florida. We're going to be celebrating the 1967 team, the team that went to Super Bowl II. There's going to be a lot of dignitaries there on Thursday night. I would assume the entire organization is up for this challenge, and this is a must-win game.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think if you were to look at this team and look where they would be at this point in the season, I don't think there's a lot of people that would have predicted 2-4. And, Derek and Jack and, everyone kind of to a man has said that. But, going into this game, is this a must-win? It's a game that this team has to win. Derek said, these division games, they almost count as two games either way. But, in order to win one game, or in order to win, go on a streak, you got to win one game first. And I think Jack has been really good. He's been really consistent about his messaging with, through the team and through the media of like, hey, this is just the next game on the schedule. Is it a very important game? Absolutely. But this is the next one on the schedule. And all our focus, all of our energy is focused on taking care of business at home in front of Raider Nation.
Great job, Eddie. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, JT.
Appreciate all of our great guests joining us. Remember, get to the game early. In the pregame, if you're going to the game on Thursday night, the Raiders will honor the 1967 Raider legendary team that went all the way to Super Bowl II against Vince Lombardi and the Green Bay Packers. There's going to be a lot of Raider legends back on a special night, Thursday Night Football. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT. We'll get you ready for the Buffalo Bills next on the official Raiders podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.